Our first speaker this morning is Brother Peter Owen from the Mumbles United Kingdom Ecclesia. The theme for Brother Owen's classes this week is Hezekiah, Upholding the Truth. Today's class is entitled, The Captain of My People.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. Let me start, if I may, with just a few thank yous. First of all, thank you for inviting me to this Super Bible School. I've been really, really grateful. And from the moment I landed in Baltimore, I've been looked after to Sister Sharon, who picked me up in the middle of the night and drove me here. And then I fell asleep in the car, and I just arrived. So that was great. Someone like our brother Bob, who, you know, I don't think there's a Bible school in the world, Brother Stephen, maybe I'll corroborate this, where there is a more organized secretary that seems to provide an enormous amount of information so that you know exactly what you are doing 7 years before you arrive. you make sure that you thank him too, and the whole committee, because it's an enormous task putting on a Bible school. And for most of us, we just turn up and we have, you know, the most marvelous fellowship, and we all get upbuilt in our faith. But actually, it's a logistical nightmare and a huge challenge. So to the committee, we all, I'm sure, are so grateful to you guys for the work you put in across the year. And then I'm really, really grateful to have been here. And, you know, our brother John has brought me a coffee in the morning at 10 to 7 promptly. What a way to start the day with a proper coffee. So I've been so grateful for that. And people looking after me and making sure that, you know, I've got somewhere to sit at breakfast, at lunch, at dinner. And so thank you all. What a blessing it is that you're able to come halfway across the world, cross that big pond, and arrive here and really feel like we're a family. What blessings the truth pours upon us. My dad once said to me, he said, Pete, if I found out that the kingdom was never going to come, I'd still live just the same life again. The blessings I've had in this life are simply extraordinary, but the best is yet to come. Will you open your Bibles at 2 Chronicles 32? We saw yesterday how the Philippian jailer learned something from the situation, and Paul and Silas there in that jailhouse in Philippi, from the story of Hezekiah. And you're going to have a task in just a moment, of course, but I want us to read verse 22 of 2 Chronicles 32, where we read, Thus Yahweh saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. And many brought gifts to Yahweh, to Jerusalem, and presents to King Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. And brothers and sisters, I'm just going to make a very small comment here. You know that from verse 24 to the end of the record in 2 Chronicles 32, Hezekiah's heart tragically becomes lifted up, and he gets into a mess in his life, where he allows the system of Babylon in. And we're going to make just one very small comment, that in our lives we can tell ourselves that we're holding off the Assyrian and everything that the Assyrian represents, that Gogian, that worldly political influence, as it were, that we see from governments and from the United Nations and human rights and like pushing in. But Babylon represents something rather different. You see, Babylon represents the religious element. And Hezekiah clearly showed the most extraordinary faith and trust in our Heavenly Father. So much so that we read that he was exalted in the sight of all nations, magnified. But in that, his heart got lifted up. We've got to be so careful to not allow our hearts to be lifted up, to start to believe that we can do religiously in the ecclesial setting what we like, that we'd be foolish enough to let Babylon into the temple, into the ecclesia. And so, yes, when we leave Bible school, we've got to hold off the Assyrian, putting our faith and our trust in God. That's how we hold off the Assyrian. But don't ever let the Babylonian system creep in to your ecclesia, to my ecclesia. And we'll stop there because we want to really reflect on the trust of this king and all the good things that the record tells us about him. And we see that the kings around, they bring presents to Hezekiah. And we're reminded, aren't we? We might put a note in our margin of Psalm 72. What a gorgeous song, hymn, that our brother Darrell put together of Psalm 72 last night. I'd never heard that, but it lifted my heart. What a beautiful, beautiful song that was. I've nicked the music, and you'll hear that coming out of Wales before long, I'm sure. That was really beautiful. But Psalm 72 speaks of the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read, don't we, that the kings of the Tarshish and the Isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. And it goes on to tell us, yea, all kings in the end shall fall down before him. And we're reminded of that passage in Philippians chapter 2, that at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every knee should bow. And with that in mind, and going into Philippians, well, we're going to start the morning with a task. You have 5 minutes. You know what to do. I don't need to tell you what to do. You know what to do. Off you go. See if you can find these links between Philippians and the life of Hezekiah. So, brethren and sisters, have we finished? Is it all sorted? I can see that for some of you, you have. For some of you, nowhere near, right? Brother Mike, I'd be with you. It takes me a bit longer too. But look, there's a bit of an answer sheet, and there are many that I'm sure that you could add to that, no doubt that you could. But there's just a flavour that perhaps works for just 5 minutes for us in a session like this. But we do it because we want to make this point another time. Why is it that the record is drawing from the life of Hezekiah to this Philippian ecclesia? And we would suggest that for the Philippian ecclesia, that the story of Hezekiah would have been an inspiration. And they would have been encouraged to really love this, that someone like Luke, who worked with that Philippian ecclesia, you know, come on, let's look together in our Bible class at Hezekiah. Because men of faith look to men of faith. Now, I want us to come back to the record and just be reminded as we move back to the record. I want you to come back to 2 Kings, please. But that when Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, came against Jerusalem, it was the 14th year of Hezekiah's reign. And be reminded that was the very year that phrase that we see in Philippians that's used of Hezekiah, he was sick unto death. We can't emphasize that enough. And it draws out a point for us in our lives that so often when it feels like there's nothing else we can take, another burden is put on us. When you think, I can't cope with any more, sometimes you can look at a family, can't you, in the truth, and tragedy seems to hit that family. And you think, we pray as an ecclesia and we put that family before God, and then something else happens as well. But we should be reminded that we're never tested more than we're able. So for Hezekiah as this king, yes, it was so difficult trying to look after the nation when the Assyrian was storming through the land, when it was coming up to Jerusalem. But God knew that he still needed that testing further through his personal illness. So that can happen in our lives. I mean, let me give you an example. You could come to a Bible school and be asked to speak at the Bible school, and the very week you're there at that Bible school, you could lose your voice. And these things do happen to us, right? Perhaps that's not a good example. But my point is simply that when the challenge feels like it's really on, something else can come. And we can take a mindset. I can't take any more of this. You know, this is ridiculous. The world would say, God would, if there was a God, he'd never, ever let this happen. We know that our Heavenly Father will never test any of us more than we're able, ever. And we're being put through these trials and challenges in order to prepare us for the kingdom. And there's something really significant about Hezekiah's illness. So are you in the record in Kings, 2 Kings chapter 20? We read, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith Yahweh, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Now, do you notice there's a contrast? Just quickly remind yourself, keep a marker there, but go back to the end of chapter 18 and verse 32. What did Rabshakeh offer to the nation? The end of verse 32 of 2 Kings 18, hearken not to Hezekiah. What he said just before that? You may live and not die. Do you notice the contrast? Isaiah speaks the word of God. You will die and not live. So you might make a note in your margin next to 2 Kings 20 and verse 1 of 2 Kings 18 and verse 32. We've put it there at the top of our screen. The truth is, we will die and not live without God in our lives. It may be that the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will approve the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that's left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said to them, thus shall he say to your master, thus saith Yahweh, be not afraid of the words which you've heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I'll cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. And so Rabshakeh returns. But for Hezekiah, it's going to become extremely challenging. We read now in verse 6 of 2 Kings 20, I will add unto thy days 15 years. So God recognizes that Hezekiah's awful situation. He says, I'll add unto your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake, for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Now, that word boil, I've put it in red there on the screen to help us make our notes. It's the word used in Leviticus chapter 13 related to leprosy. So you might want to just quickly turn there to see this clearly for ourselves in the record. Leviticus chapter 13, and we read in verse 18 that the flesh also, in which even in the skin thereof, was a boil and is healed. And so we read verse 23, the bright spots stay in its place and spread not. It's a burning boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. So this idea of the boil is related to leprosy. And so we would, again, without being the least bit dogmatic, suggest that quite possibly the king has leprosy. Now, you imagine being a leper as the king of the nation, having to be cut off and yet also trying to lead the people. We wonder that at this, that very shortly from now, his heart is going to be lifted up, that he's having to be reminded of his great-grandfather, Uzziah. You remember the leprous king whose heart was lifted up and he became a leper. Now, the Lord knows, and we're not going to dwell on it, as we've said, that Hezekiah's heart is about to be lifted up. And so before his heart is lifted up, he's made a leper. Now, when we think about that, so often in our lives again, we can be given challenges and trials that seem so difficult. Perhaps our Heavenly Father knows that we need that trial right now, however difficult it might seem. We need that trial right now before our heart gets too lifted up. For Hezekiah, it was perhaps a warning to him that tragically it seems that he didn't heed as well as he ought to have. And so we read in the record in 2 Kings chapter 20 that Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they laid it, they put it on the boil, and he recovered. Now, let's be clear. If you have a boil, and particularly if that boil is leprous, but if you have a boil and you go and find a fig tree, we have a fig tree in our garden, and you pick a fig off it and you rub it on the boil, you're going to likely be rather disappointed that the boil is still going to be there in the morning, right? There is nothing miraculous or magical about the properties. Thank you, brother. Thanks, Brother Bill. Super grateful. There's nothing miraculous about the properties in figs. There is nothing. Clearly, this was God's miraculous work. We know from the Genesis record that the covering of figs does not cover sin. And so we're reminded that leprosy represents sin in Scripture. And it draws out another really significant point for us. You see, at the very heart of the story of the life of Hezekiah, the history books tell us all about the defeat of the Assyrians. And we know, don't we, that what that means as Hezekiah puts his trust in God and holds off, as it were, the worldly forces. But while the Assyrian is on the outside of the walls of Jerusalem, Hezekiah's greatest battle is being fought on the inside. And if he's a leper, he's on his own on the inside. He's lying, as it were, on his deathbed, fighting leprosy. And brothers and sisters, the battle with sin, in the end, is a personal one. Yes, we can have Jerusalem decisions, ecclesial decisions around how we're going to keep the Assyrian at bay and put all of our trust in God. And we're thankful for leaders that may support and help us with that. But ultimately, the battle with sin is a personal one. You've got to deal with leprosy on your own, as it were. You've got to put your trust and faith in God on your own. You've got to work out your own salvation with trembling and fear. And so remind you that that which defies a man, defiles a man, comes from within. And that also is central to the story of Hezekiah. We're all riddled with sin. We've all got leprosy. And we can speak and talk and discuss what we need to do as an ecclesia, what we need to do as the family, you know, what we need to do as a brotherhood. All those things are so valid. They're the Jerusalem decisions about keeping the Assyrian at bay. But we've all got leprosy. And we've all got to deal and fight the battle with sin on a personal level. When you come to Isaiah chapter 52, we suggested in earlier classes that the servant that we see in Isaiah is in the first instance Hezekiah, and we can be confident of that, I'm sure. We also suggested that Ahaz perhaps put Hezekiah through the fire. We're told, aren't we, in the king's record, that he made his son to pass through the fire. So that could well have been Hezekiah, who was as a result marred in his visage. But of course, so was the leper. So was the leper. Behold, Isaiah 52, verse 13. My servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. You imagine these kings bringing presents and coming and seeing this leprous king, shutting their mouths at him. He wasn't the king that they expected to see in Jerusalem. He was a leper fighting for his life. And we see in Hezekiah the actions of the servant. And we're told in verse 10, and of course we understand, brothers and sisters, that this is speaking primarily about the Lord Jesus Christ. But it also is speaking in the first instance as a type of Hezekiah. Verse 10 of Isaiah 53. It pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. That word grief that you see there in verse 10, that's the word sick that's used of Hezekiah. So in 2 Kings 20 in verse 1, when we read that Hezekiah was sick unto death, that's the same word in the Hebrew, grief, that we read in Isaiah 53 and verse 10. And I've put the notes there on the screen. It's also used in 2 Kings 20 verse 12, in 2 Chronicles 32, in the Isaiah record. So the Kings, the Chronicles, the Isaiah record, when they refer to Hezekiah being sick, this is the grief, this is the sickness. And it pleased Yahweh to do this to him. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Now, this is significant. Because when Hezekiah was sick unto death, his greatest concern that we see on the record was that he didn't have a seed. And so he was kept alive for 15 years. Now, brothers and sisters, this is also an example of we need to be careful what we wish for. That if Hezekiah had fallen asleep in his 14th year, well, the record would have nothing bad to say of him. Yet we know that within those 15 years, his heart was lifted up. And he did have a child. He was given 15 years. It was 3 years later that he had a child. We know that because his son was 12 when he came to the throne. Who was his son? Manasseh. We've got to be so careful what it is that we wish for. Whatever it is that our circumstances are in the truth, we should try to count our blessings and be thankful for them. And know that our Heavenly Father knows what's best for us. He did see his seed. We go on to say, he shall prolong his days. This is Hezekiah, isn't it? His days were prolonged. And the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. That word prosper, you might make a note, is the same word in 2 Chronicles 31, verse 21, where we read, we won't go back there, that everything that Hezekiah did, God made him to prosper. It's also the same word used, and because we're in Isaiah, let's just turn the page to Isaiah 55, where we know again, we've used this chapter many times this week. This is speaking of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11, where we see the word that will go out from God's mouth, the word made flesh is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read in verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper, there's our Hezekiah word, in the thing whereto I sent it. So Hezekiah prospered. Just as the servant would do, that we're told about in Isaiah 53. So come with me back to the record in Kings. In 2 Kings chapter 20, I ought to have asked you to keep a marker there, because we want to pick up the phrase that is the title of our class this morning. Brothers and sisters, Yes, super. 2 Kings 20, we read in verse 5. Isaiah says to the people, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith Yahweh, the God of David thy father, I've heard thy prayer, I've seen thy tears, I will heal thee." And isn't it lovely that that phrase is used of Hezekiah, the captain of my people? We won't go there again, but you should make a note. That is the same word in Isaiah 55 and verse 4, where it says of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a captain and commander to the people." In the Authorized Version, it says a leader. That's the same word, captain. Hezekiah is the captain of the people. And we're interested because we come across this particular word in the English in Hebrews chapter 2. And I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 2. And we're going to be in the New Testament for a little while now. So come with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 2, where you know this phrase about the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 9, we read, "We see Jesus," Hebrews 2, verse 9, "who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Now this is Hezekiah. It's clearly rather the Lord Jesus Christ, but it speaks to us about people like Hezekiah, that by the grace of God, he should taste death for every man. If they were in that city, they didn't taste death. They were kept safe. They were in the refuge, in the walls of Jerusalem. Nobody tasted death inside the walls of Jerusalem. But Hezekiah did. He was sick. And he could taste death. And so he was the suffering servant, that through his work, he would bring many sons to glory. He was the captain of their salvation, perfect through sufferings. His story is the story of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're interested because we've seen of Hezekiah, haven't we, that he is a beginner and a finisher. In Hebrews chapter 12, we read, don't we, of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the author and the finisher of our faith, that the beginner and the perfecter of faith. Well, that's what it says in here, of the captain of our salvation. The word captain, we've put there on the screen the Greek word. I can't pronounce it. But you might notice that it's the Greek, the Strong's number, G747. That's the same word, it's hardly used in Scripture, used of the Lord Jesus as the author, the beginner. So the Lord Jesus, Hezekiah, is the captain. Through his sufferings, the people in the city are kept safe through his work. The same for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the author. He's the captain. But we read as well in Hebrews 2 and verse 10, he's the captain of their salvation, perfect through sufferings. Now, the word perfect, can you see I've put the Strong's number again on the screen? That particular Greek word is Strong's number G5048. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, we read, looking unto Jesus, the author, the captain, that's exactly the same word as Hebrews 2, verse 10, and the finisher, and can you see that really is the same Greek word? That one is G5048, the other is G5051. You can see the word, and you can see the similarity. That the Lord Jesus is the beginner and the perfecter. He did it through the cross. Just turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Looking to Jesus, Hebrews 12, verse 2, the beginner and the perfecter, the author, the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That was Hezekiah. He endured the cross, as it were, despite, imagine the shame of being the leper. He despised the shame. Unlike the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, he wasn't exalted to be on the right hand of the throne of God. For Hezekiah was only a type of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ask ourselves, well, how did he do it? How did this extraordinary king manage to deal with this challenge of chronic personal suffering? He's dying. He's a leper, isolated on his own, having to do it, but having to stay alive, as it were, to keep much people alive, to bring many sons to glory, to make Jerusalem be safe. How does he do it? And how can we do it in our lives? How can we cope with suffering? You'll know of people who aren't at Bible school, who are going through some tremendous trials in their lives. And there are people at Bible school who are going through tremendous trials in their lives. Someone sat opposite you, sat next to you. There are people sat in front of me going through extraordinarily difficult circumstances. How can we manage it? How can we be like Hezekiah? Well, here we are in Hebrews chapter 12. We read, don't we, in verse 6, the end of verse 5, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. So we should be encouraged by that. That when that trial is in our life, when we've got leprosy, as it were, when the Assyrians bearing down on us, be reminded that whom the Lord loves, he chastens. We're reminded too, aren't we, in Corinthians, that we will never suffer more than we can be tempted. That's absolutely critical in our lives. None of us are allowed to say, I can't cope, I can't manage, I give up. You're not allowed to. The God who made you has told you through the pages of Scripture, you will not be tested more than you can manage. I don't think any of us are going to ever be tested like Hezekiah was. We read in verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Brothers and sisters, that is so true. Let me give you a personal example, if I may. When I was 16, my twin brother had leukemia, and he had it terribly. He was truly sick unto death. He had to have a bone marrow transplant and chemotherapy and radiotherapy. And even now, you know, he's the same age as me. And, you know, he, like me, looks really young, but we're 44. I can see you're all shocked. You thought I was 50. But John, well, he's still supposed to take a significant amount of medication now. He still has to go for checkups periodically. His ankles are shot through. You know, he can't go and play football if he's at a Bible school with the young people. It's not possible. But he wouldn't change it. He wouldn't change it one bit. And you know, for our family, it brought the whole family so tight. It made doing the readings feel so relevant. It made prayer matter so much when you're on your knees, because you know someone's life could come to an end. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, we hear of stories. When I was a young person, I was here in North America. I went to James Newth's funeral. I can remember the terrible sadness for that family. In our family circumstances, in our ecclesial life, sometimes trials come that are so difficult. But if we put all our faith and our trust in our Heavenly Father, we can be made so much stronger for it. I can hardly read my Bible as it is when it's this close to me, let alone when my eyes are filling up. It really can yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our lives. So we've got to remember that and trust that the next time in your ecclesia or your family, some trial that seems just so difficult and is developing in us such chronic sadness and worry and anxiety, we've got to remember Hezekiah. That's why these characters are put for us on the record, to give us this help and strength. Because what do men of faith do? They look to men of faith. It will make us stronger. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ. You come back to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. When we're feeling so low and we think our circumstances are so difficult, we've got to try to get that mind of the Lord Jesus in us. Look not every man on his own things, Philippians 2 verse 4, but every man on the things of others. That's what Hezekiah did. He really tried to be a leader and a captain. You think that when we're told about Hezekiah being sick unto death in 2 Kings 20, in verse 5, that's when God says to him, you're the captain of my people. Look not to your own things, but every man to the things of others. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took on him the form of a servant. When we read the servant songs, which speak to us of the Lord Jesus, isn't it remarkable that we can see Hezekiah? Because he tried to be the servant, the one ultimately that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for us, without the intervention of the Father, the Assyrians will overwhelm us. The Assyrians would have overwhelmed Jerusalem. Humanly speaking, there was no hope. Yet through the faith of Hezekiah, even in fighting the personal battle against leprosy, sin, and his trust in God, there was a great deliverance. This is our story. We're all dead. We're stuck in a body that's dying. We've got no hope. But because of the mercy of the Father and the work of the Lord Jesus, we do have hope. And surely we should be so thankful for that, that it should develop in us a spirit of service, that it is our pleasure to help our brothers and sisters, that those who are outside of Jerusalem, we write letters to, we get them inside Jerusalem, That we send the prophets out to speak the message. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. It's free. Come in. Get into the city. Get into the ecclesia. Inside the walls of Jerusalem is safety. But even when you're there, there's a personal battle to be fought. We've got to overcome the leprosy within us. We do it because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're able to overcome. And so it develops in us, as we look at him and follow his example of service, a willingness to be prepared to serve. Will you come with me to John chapter 13? We'll start to draw our thoughts together. John chapter 13. We see the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? Being the servant. We read in verse 4 that the Lord Jesus riseth from supper and had laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And he says to his disciples, I've given you, verse 15, an example that you also ought to wash one another's feet. I'm the example that you've got to give in service. And brothers and sisters, Bible school is pointless if it doesn't develop in us a spirit of, yes, thankfulness and our hearts are lifted up. But when that heart is lifted up in good things, that's the time to take action. When our heart is moved, that's the time to say, right, this week I'm going to try to do this. If you leave it, before long, it's tragic. The spirit, when our hearts are soaring so high that we have this week, well, it does drop off. And then we're not so good at accepting the call to action. We've got to do it while your spirit is soaring high. It's the journey home, the conversations to be had. Come on. What can we do? How can we wash someone else's feet? What can we do? How can we follow that example of the Lord Jesus, of Hezekiah? But there's a warning, isn't there, in this chapter? That there was someone that was in that house on that night, but he wasn't really listening to the idea of washing the feet and being a servant. We read, don't we, towards the end of verse 29, that Judas, having received the sop, immediately he went out, and it was night. Brothers and sisters, I want to draw our thoughts to a close with a warning. There is salvation nowhere else. You had to stay in that house. You think of the Passover. You couldn't leave the house. You imagine that the leaders of the homes in Egypt, they made sure that the whole family was in the house. If you weren't in the house, then you were in dire straits. If you weren't here in this Passover house, you were in dire straits. The call to Hezekiah, the house was the city. We've got to stay in the city. We've got to make sure that our brothers and sisters who may be struggling post-COVID, there are still brothers and sisters who are content to sit in their own homes and Zoom in and hardly attend the ecclesia. We've got to really try to encourage them to get inside the walls of Jerusalem. Fellowship isn't simply a breaking of bread on Zoom. What a blessing that we had something like that when we really couldn't leave our own homes. But now we can. We don't rely on that. You get to the ecclesia. You have fellowship. You build one another up inside the walls of Jerusalem. There are two more references. You can see them on the screen there. First, Isaiah 26. We can't emphasize enough, brothers and sisters, the only place where salvation is in the walls of Jerusalem. In Isaiah 26, we read, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in thee, because he trusteth in thee." Brothers and sisters, we've got to make certain our families are in Jerusalem. And I appreciate that there are many here who have children who sadly have turned aside from the truth. Ultimately, you've got to work out your own salvation with trembling and fear. But this week, write the letter. Turn, 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 repent. Write the letter. Ask them to come back. Sadly, there will be many that will laugh us to scorn and mock. But we've got to do everything we can to get our people inside the city. Come finally to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We read in verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." Hezekiah did that. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true," we've got to uphold the truth. "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace will be with you." Brothers and sisters, let's all make it the number one mission of our lives to keep working in our ecclesias, in our families, serving our Heavenly Father in so doing, having that mission that we really are going to see each other one day when the Lord Jesus Christ appears inside the walls of salvation, the walls of Jerusalem.